Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. We bless you, Lord, tonight. We thank you for your blessings upon us. And thank you also for your greatness as revealed in the things you do for us, your presence in our lives, your love, your kindness, your mercies. Tonight, oh God, we've gathered again here. We pray in the name of Jesus that you touch us, bless us through your word, and speak to us. Thank you, Father, that we will not be the same, but that we are going to draw closer to you and learn things that will deepen our relationship with you. We glorify you this evening. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say, amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. You may be seated. Now, last Sunday, I actually thought it was going to be a one-off message, but I couldn't finish. So what I intend to do is to finish what I started last Sunday. So tonight, I'm going to share with you the second part of the message, for who makes you differ from another. For who makes you differ from another, part two. Let's turn to our scripture text, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, and I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Then verse 7, for who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Hallelujah. Right. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and there are two recorded letters or epistles that he wrote to this church. So there is 1 Corinthians and there's 2 Corinthians. Actually, it is those who translated, you know, anyway, let me not even go into all of that. But the fact of the matter is that if you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you will realize that there were different issues that the Apostle Paul tried to address in the church. One of the problems with the Corinth church was that there was a lot of division, a lot of schism, a lot of strife. And, you know, at one point he wrote to them and said, "You guys, you are very carnal. You're always quarreling. There are always differences, issues, misunderstandings. You can't seem to forgive each other, let issues go, and all of that. So in his letters to them, he tried to address different issues in the church. One of the issues in the church was that there was factionism. What I mean is that they had created factions in the church. And there was the Apostle Paul faction or group. And then there was the Apollos faction or group. Now, both Paul and Apollos had done a lot of work in the church at Corinth. And what was happening was that the people were now creating all kinds of issues, trying to claim that this one was greater than the other, that this one had achieved more than the other, that this one was more powerful than the other, creating all kinds of funny things. And you have to understand that whenever there are divisions and quarrels and misunderstandings, things don't go well. And the devil always has a way of taking advantage of these disturbances to prevent things from working the way they are supposed to work. Can I have an amen from somebody? So the Apostle Paul knew that he needed to address this issue. And in this letter, he starts off and says to them that, you guys, consider myself and Apollos as servants of Christ. That's who we are. We are just servants. We are not anything on our own. We are just servants of Christ. And that there are things that God has entrusted to us with respect to the ministry. So see us as servants and also see us as stewards. And a steward is simply somebody to whom something has been entrusted. And he is supposed to be responsible for that thing. Then he explains to them that as stewards, all that God is expecting of us is that we will be faithful concerning whatever he has entrusted to us. Then he says to them that my concern is not to receive endorsement or judgment from any of you. And he says, I do not even judge myself, or I don't see myself as anything great or anything, you know, extraordinary. But the person who judges me is the Lord, and he's the one with whom I have to do. Then he tells them that, so don't try to judge anything before the time, because when the Lord comes, he will reveal a lot of things. And we will understand a lot of things about people, their ministries, what they were doing, the motive behind everything that they did. Then he says, at the end of the day, it is God who will reward his servants for whatever work he did. So now he says that all these things that I'm saying apply to myself and Apollos. So now he was explaining to them that all these things that I've said is because I'm trying to address this issue. That none of you should be puffed up or feel proud because of your affiliation with one or the other. Then he moves on from there and makes a very profound statement. That for who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? For who makes you differ from another? And last Sunday, I explained to you that one of the greatest dangers of success and accomplishment in this life is where you get to a place that you forget who is the source of the blessings that you have. So you look at your life. You've achieved this. You've accomplished this. You have this. You have that. You've come far in life. Things seem to be working for you. A danger that many of us go through after we've experienced success in life is when we forget the one through whom that success came, or the one through whom that good thing or that blessing that we have in our lives, the one through whom that thing came. And it's a danger that easily comes up against us. So you see it with individuals. You see it with institutions. You even see it with churches. So you will see, for example, with churches, that a church starts, the pastors are always acknowledging God, always giving glory to God for everything that is going on. You can see that there's a lot of focus on God and the fact that everything that is happening is by the grace of God and everything. Then as the church starts to grow, the numbers multiply. The church prospers, has a lot of influence in the city, in the community. Then what you begin to see is that you don't hear so much talk about God anymore. Now, it's not like you stop talking about God completely. But then you begin to hear a lot of I did this, I did that, I went here. And you begin to hear people talk a lot about their experiences. So you watch out. You see, don't just listen to messages that are preached, maybe on radio, television, and everything. Scrutinize the message very carefully. You will discover that there are a lot of people who talk a lot more about their experiences. And what they do sometimes is that they use their personal experiences as a yardstick by which everybody should measure their progress in Christ. What do I mean? So maybe he had an experience. He went to pray and fast 40 days and nights. And something happened to him. So now when he comes and he's talking and everything, it's like that experience he had is what everybody must ascribe to and aim towards. And then that is when people begin to talk in a certain way. And they carry themselves as though the church belongs to them. And I'm sure you've heard me say this, that one of the things that I try very hard not to do, I try very hard, is to refer to this church as my church. There's a reason why I talk in that way. And I'm praying that God will help me to always remember that this church is in existence by the grace of God. And it is not my church. It's not a church for my wife and my children. It's not a church that I'm going to wail to my son and to my daughter. It doesn't belong to me. It is the church of the living God. And it is the Lord himself who founded this church. Because if you know where I have come from and the battles that I have been through, the only conclusion you would arrive at is that it is God who has done this work. Hallelujah. So I'm saying all this to point out something to us, that there's a certain danger that confronts all of us at one point or the other on the road of success, on the road of blessing, on the road of achievement, on the road of accomplishment, on the road of prosperity. And what is that danger? Where you forget the source of your blessing and where it came from. And there is this subtle temptation that all of us go through, where you get to a point in your life, you feel that it's by my strength, it's by my wisdom, it's by my hard work, it's by my effort, my diligence, my focus, my intelligence. And all of us are confronted with these things. But the antidote for that way of thinking is to learn to constantly ask yourself that who makes me differ from another? And what is it that I have that I have not received? It is a question that we should always ask ourselves every time, because that is what will help us to position ourselves well and move away from the danger of thinking that whatever we are and whatever we have is by our own strength, by our own might, by our own effort, and by our own intelligence. And last Sunday, I told you about my encounter with a mate of mine in traffic. We went to a good school, the best school, secondary school in Ghana, you know. And we sat in the same form. Do I have to mention the school? I shouldn't mention it. Why shouldn't I mention it? I'll mention it again. Because others may not know. My God is great. Yes, I went to Presec. Not Tema Presec, please. Presbyterian Boys Senior Secondary School and Sixth Form Science College at Legon. That's where I went. And before I fall into the trap that I just described, it is by the grace of God. This guy that I saw in traffic moving from car to car and begging was my mate. We sat in the same class for the first 3 years in secondary school. And to the best of my knowledge, he was a good student. But you see, along the line, and I think that, I don't know exactly when these problems came up. But he ended up with a drug addiction problem. I know how it is. Sometimes in secondary school, we are trying this more, we are trying this more, we are trying this more. And then before you realize, you've ended up where you never intended to be. And some years ago, his issue came up on our year group platform. And it's like, we have to do something to help our brother. So I told them about a rehabilitation center that we knew that I knew about somewhere along the Central University Road. And he ended up there. And it looked like, you know, he had sobered up, the problem had been dealt with, but he ended up in it again. So now when I saw him and I recognized him, as I gave him the money, because I'd already taken out money without recognizing who he was. And I try. As much as I can to you know, give to anybody who asks me, as much as I can. I'm not able to do it all the time, but as much as I can, I do it. And I took, it wasn't one CD or two CDs or five CDs. It was something, okay? And it was just when I was going to give it to him that I realized that this was my mate. So when I handed the money over to him, I spoke sternly to him. I said, you have to take control of your life. We've done so much for you to help you put things together. But you can't always be doing this. And I told you how God rebuked me. And you see, this was the scripture that came to my mind. I was with my friend, Reverend Joe Kumi. We were coming from a trip. And this was the scripture that came to mind. For who makes you differ from another? For who makes you differ from another? And that was when I felt the Spirit of God speaking to you and said, my buddy, look. If you had been through what he went through or met some of the challenges that he met, you don't know how you'd have turned out. You may also have ended up on the streets begging, or your situation may even have been worse. And that's what I felt the Spirit of God impressing on my heart. And that is the motivation for this sermon. Because you see, in this month of December, which is the last month of the year, I want us to be in a gratitude and thanksgiving mode. I want us to be grateful to God. I want us to be thankful to God. I want us to reflect on our lives and recognize that God has dealt well with us. Even if all our prayers have not been answered, even if all our desires have not been met, Even if all our expectations have not been realized, even if there's been a certain amount of pain and unhappiness and sorrow and sadness and frustrations in our lives, when all is said and done, if we analyze things a bit more closely, we'll discover that God has dealt well with us. And if there is anything in your life that carries a certain weight, carries a certain value, anything that is recommendable, never tell yourself that it's by your own strength and might that you got that thing. Always remember the source of that. So then when you ask yourself, who makes you differ from another? What you are saying, in other words, is who gave you the edge? Who opened the door for you? Who separated you from the crowd? Because sometimes it's like you are going with a group of people in a certain way, and then somebody just takes you out of that crowd and places you somewhere else. It's like secondary school. You find out that people are in a group doing a lot of bad things. You know? Then many of them don't end up well, but one of those who was involved in doing the bad things is just picked out of the lot. And then his life turns out differently from the others. Who makes you differ from another? If you realize in your life that you are standing out in a certain way, please, think about it. You have your friend, but you are the one who is standing out. If you look at your family, you are the one who is standing out. Who makes you to differ? Who caused you to stand out? And everything that is great, everything that is noble, everything that is commendable in your life, always ask yourself, who caused me to have that thing? Who empowered me to achieve that thing? Who lifted me to that level? My family, my children, my spouse, my job, my money, my beauty, the honor I have, the favor I have, where did it all come from? And you must always constantly remind yourself that if there's anything in your life that is good, and if there's anything in your life that is perfect, it came from above and it came from God. Hallelujah. So we started looking at a few truths on the subject. And the first one I shared with you is that all achievement is enabled by God. And every lifting has a source. All achievement is enabled or brought about by God. And every lifting has a source. So if you are lifted up in life, if you are promoted in life, if you see yourself, you know, rising to a certain level, always understand who is the source of it. And it is God. And this was what John the Baptist said to his disciples when they came to report to him that Jesus seems to have drawn all the crowds, because now at this stage of John the Baptist's ministry, not so many people were flooding to him. And it looked like Jesus was the new man in town. And the disciples of John the Baptist were unhappy about it. So at one point he said to them that he must increase, but I must decrease. But here in John 3:27, he makes a profound statement to them and said, a man can receive nothing. It includes a woman. Okay? A man or a woman can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You can't receive anything unless God is the one who is giving it to you. Whether you acknowledge him or not, is immaterial. Whether you recognize that it came from God or not, is him. It doesn't change the truth and the reality that it came from God. If it is a good thing, if it is a blessing, if it is commendable, if it is nice, then always understand that it came from God. Hallelujah. So your talents, they came from God. Opportunities that you've had in life, came from God. Doors that were open to you, he was the one who opened them. One of the titles of God is the one who opens and no one can shut, and is the one who shuts and no one can open. If it opens, then he's the one who opened it. Connections. Your connections in life. It is God who made all those things possible. Even your ability to work hard. It's a gift from God. So, the truth of the matter is that there is nothing good or commendable in your life that you should dare take credit for. You can't take credit for anything. Because who makes you to differ from another? Hallelujah. Then the second thing, the second truth I shared with you is that effort by itself does not create distinction. There is always the grace factor now. Effort in itself does not create distinction. What it means is that, you see, it's important to acknowledge that effort is important. It is needed. You need to work hard. You need to put in some effort. You need to strive. You need to fight. You need to press on. You need to persevere. You need to endure. All these things can be captured under one word, effort. But understand that effort on its own, effort alone, does not cause your life to be distinct. It doesn't set you up. Because I can show you a lot of people who put in effort, but nothing much comes out of it. No, you say you prospered because of hard work. Let me take you to Agbogbloshila. Let me take you to Agbogbloshi and I'll show you hard work. But there's very little to show for all the hard work that they put in. Go to some of the construction sites around. Look at the things that people are carrying on their head. And I don't think that God created the head to carry things like that. Telling you. So sometimes that's the reason why people don't do well in school. You see, they've carried a lot of things on their head. It has compacted their brain. So the part of the brain that is supposed to be used for learning, inside, what flatten? There's always a reason for everything, though. Hey, I mean, what is this? The head was not meant to carry things. Abba. So effort is important, but you must always recognize that there is always the grace factor. And I shared Ecclesiastes 9:11 with you. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. I told you last Sunday that it is expected that the one who is fastest will always win the race. That the one who is strongest will always win the fight. That the one who is wise will always be provided for. That the one who has understanding is the one who will have riches. And that the one who has skill is the one who will obtain a certain kind of favor. That is how, in the normal play of events, things work out. But if you've been around long enough, you realize that it is not always the fastest who wins. It's not always. And it is not always the strongest who wins the battle. So there is something else that influences the outcome of events. And in this scripture, it called it time and chance, but I want to refer to it as providence, which has to do with God's sovereign guidance and governance of things. Look, because God is in control. He's in control. And I've heard people make statements like, when we sing songs like, He's got the whole world. In His hands, He's got the whole wide world. In His hands, He got the whole world. In His hands, He got the whole world in His hands. I've had people comment and say that it's not true that God doesn't have the whole world in His hands. How dare you? Because if you make that statement, what you are saying is that God doesn't have control in certain places. How dare you? Even in situations where it looks like the devil is winning, God is fully in control. Yeah. Even when things look very bad and horrible, God is still in control. Look, like if you take the crucifixion of Jesus, it looked like a total failure. That's what it looked like. It's like the person who had come and had stirred up so much hope, healing so many people, feeding so many people, delivering so many people, had a lot of goodwill with the people and everything. Then suddenly, here he is. They've beaten him beyond recognition, tortured him beyond recognition. That's why the Bible says there was no comeliness with him that we should even admire him. Look, by the time they finished torturing him, you could not recognize him. I mean, how? It's like you are watching an action film and then the blow man, they beating him. Basaha. Abba. It's like you are spoiling the film. Blow man, pa. It's not right. But that was what it was. And at the end of the day, here he was. They had nailed him to a cross. And the one who calmed the seas, who fed the multitudes, who raised Lazarus from the dead, who raised up the son of the woman of Nain, you couldn't do anything about it. It looked like a total failure. And here he was hanging on the cross. And in very embarrassingly, he was completely naked. Hey, babe, wanya them. It's not right. It looked like failure. And he died. It was obvious that he died. He didn't faint, he died. Day one, day two, then day three, he rose from the dead. Yay! I try to picture what happened in hell. I try to picture how the powers of darkness, Satan, had called a general assembly of all demons. Let's come and rejoice over the victory that we have over him. And then on the third day, the Father said, "It's enough. Holy Spirit, go raise him up." They were confused. And that's why the Bible says that the princes of this world, they did not know what was going on. Because if they knew that everything that they were doing was according to plan, they would never have crucified the King of Glory. Never. He didn't know. So you see, the devil is smart. He knows a lot of things, but he's not all-knowing. He is powerful, but he's not all-powerful. He is mighty, but he's not almighty. And that is why you should never give him more credit than he deserves. Don't do that. I've told you that sometimes the way we talk about the devil, his power and his strength, it is as if he is the all-powerful one and God is to be greatly pitied. So I'm saying something to you, that the devil is not in control. Have you given your life to Christ? The devil is not in control over your life. The one you gave your life to, he is the one who is in control. Even when things look very nyama, basa, poto, tam, 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 there's always something that he's doing. You did not entrust your life to God in vain. You did not. No matter how bad things are looking for you now, you got to believe that the one that you gave your life to, he is able to take care of you. Paul, during the closing stages of his life, he was in prison. He knew that he was going to die. He made a statement and said, "I know whom I have believed. And I know that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Hallelujah. Yeah. So I'm explaining something to you. That God is actually in control. He is in control. And you always have to understand that if things are working well for you, his hand is in it. And it's not just by your effort. Anything that is a source of distinction, a source of pride to you, it was not just by your effort. Effort is important. Effort is needed. You don't just sit there for things to happen. There are things you must do. In fact, the Bible even says that those who don't work shouldn't eat. It all suggests effort. But there's always the grace factor. There's always the grace factor. And that's why two people can study in the same class, can attend the same church, be praying the same prayers, but one of them will have a distinguished, outstanding life. But the other one seems to be somewhere else. There's always the grace. Because grace, the simple definition of grace, is undeserved favor, unmerited favor. And it is there, it is real, and it's a major factor in the play of things in this life. Which is why the Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Efforts. I labored more abundantly. I put in a lot of effort. But then he's quick to add, yet not I. Yet not I. It is by the grace of God which was with me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. The third truth that I want to share with you concerning this profound statement, who makes you differ from another, is that what sets men apart is decided by God. What sets men apart is decided by God. Period. What differentiates between people is God's idea. I'm telling you. And the earlier you recognize this, the better it will be for you. Now, when we say something like, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't try. It doesn't mean you shouldn't put in any effort. It mustn't be that you tell yourself that, okay, if God is the one who decides on how things will play out, then it's like he has already decided, so I shouldn't do anything. That's also foolish talk. Do the best you can. Work hard. Strive hard. Persevere. Persist. Endure. Press on. Do all those things. But always tell yourself that God decides everything at the end of the day. Because he's sovereign. And he's in charge. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus 11 verse 7. Exodus 11, verse 7. The Bible says, so now, this was when God released the final plague on Egypt, where the firstborn of every Egyptian and the firstborn of all their animals were to die. So the instruction was given and an angel of death was released to wipe out all the firstborn of any living thing that is connected to the Egyptians. Now look at what verse 7 says. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue against man or beast, that you may know. Notice what he says. Oh, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. It is the Lord who makes the difference. And you must understand this about God. He makes the difference in a lot of things and in a lot of situations. So it's like, I have decided that I'm going to deal in this way with the Egyptians. But I've decided that what I'm going to do to the Egyptians, I will not let anything like that happen to the people of Israel. Now, is it because the people of Israel had done anything special? No. God just decided that I want to make a nation unto myself. So then he looks through the earth and decides that, okay, this one. No, that one, no, this one, No. Abraham, you come. Leave your father's house. Leave your family and everything. Go to the land that I'm going to show you. And I'm going to make you a great person. And through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. What exactly did Abraham do? What did he do for God to choose him and for God to favor him? Another example that I can give you. Take Jacob and Esau. Even before they were born, God had decided that I'm going to let the younger be greater than the elder. Even before they were born, even before they had had opportunity to do anything that you could use to judge them or assess them, God had already chosen. So the Bible says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Yeah, you know, my friends, let's be humble. As we move through life, let's be very, very humble. And let's always recognize that God is sovereign. I know that sometimes we have a problem with these things. That God is not fair. God is not just. God is this. Please, let's not walk on that road. And let me give you an illustration that I've given you many times before. You see what I'm wearing today? I could have worn something else. I have a lot of clothes at my disposal. But when it came to choosing what to wear, this is what I decided to wear. And it has nothing to do with the clothes. What have they done for me that I will choose that this is the one I'm going to wear? They are there, lined up in the wardrobe. I just decided that today I will wear this. And I chose it. Because I have the power. I have the power to choose. Now, if you, a human being, you have the power to make those choices, what makes you think that the one who created you, and by the way, have you forgotten who you are? You are dust. That's how we were made. Dust. Earth. That's why when we bury people, we say from dust to dust, from earth to earth, from ashes to ashes. It's a way of reminding ourselves that we are nothing. Yeah, it's true that we are something, but also we are nothing. Both are true. Both are true. And I'm saying to you, my friends, that it is God who makes the difference. Ultimately, He makes the difference. All right? And He does not bless all men in the same way at the same time. Look at Psalm 75, verse 6 to 7. Psalm 75, verse 6 to 7. It says, for exaltation comes neither from the east, that is promotion or lifting up, comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. Then what does he say next? He puts down one and exalts another. Simple. He puts down one and exalts another. So he does not bless all men in the same way at the same time. And you can't take him to task for that because he's God. And who are you? Dust. That is why the Apostle Paul asked the question, can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me this way? Because when you go to the potter's house, he's molded all kinds of vessels. Some of the vessels he's molded are for noble use. They are used to supply water and all of that. Other vessels that he's made, maybe it's a chamber pot. Now, the vessels cannot go arguing with the potter. Why have you made me this way? Why have you made me this way? See, that's what I'm saying to you, my friends. Look, as we go through life, we have to be very humble. Oh. We have to be very, very humble. So it is God. He elevates one, he tests another, he trains another, he prepares another. But always understand this, that if you become distinct in anything in life, it doesn't mean that you are superior to anybody else. You are not superior. It's just God's grace that has found you and located you. So you must never get to the place where you develop airs and attitudes. It's just God who makes the difference between people. Number four, the last but one, the fourth truth. God made you different for a purpose. God made you different for a purpose. Is there anything distinguishing about you? Is there anything about you that is different from others? It's notable. It's recommendable. Always understand that God made you different for a purpose. Always tell yourself that. You are top of the class all the time. God made you different for a purpose. You are strikingly beautiful. God made you so for a purpose. Pastor James is trying to complicate my sermon. That even if you are down in the class, when they do exams, you are always last. That one too also is for a purpose. Along the line, he will change the story. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you are different, God made you different for a purpose. Look at Matthew 5:16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your light is anything distinguishing about you, anything great, anything good about you, anything that distinguishes you and makes people notice you is your light. And every one of you has a light. And let me reframe it. Every one of you is a light. Says you are the light of the world. Everybody is a light. And light is supposed to shine. And there's a way God wants you to shine. And if you see yourself shining in a certain way, and especially when you notice that others don't shine in that way like you do, understand that God has made you different for a purpose. And your difference is supposed to glorify God. He said that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your difference is supposed to be to serve others. Use that thing that is remarkable or distinguishing about you to make a difference wherever you are. So God has made you different to serve others, made you different to glorify Him. He's even made you different to draw men to Christ. There's always a reason for it. And you can summarize all that and say, God has made you different because He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has an objective. And it must be the quest of every one of us to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God for our lives. There's nobody under the sound of my voice whose life is useless. Nobody. Never mind the circumstances surrounding you, the painful things you're going through, the rejection, the betrayal, the disappointments, and the frustration. There is something about you. And you are very much in God's plan. God has a blueprint concerning your life. So let your light shine. The song we sing, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, Let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh yeah, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Said everywhere I go, well, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Even if it's little, let it shine. Do you know that no matter how dark a room is, even the tiniest of lights makes a difference? Yeah. It doesn't have to be a big light. But where there's a lot of darkness, even with the tiniest of lights, there's a way it can guide you and direct you. And I want you to understand that whoever you are a light. Notice that when God made the lights, he made different ones. He made the sun. He made the moon. He made the stars. They are different sizes. In fact, there are some of the stars that are even bigger than the earth. He made all those lights. He made the sun to rule by day and the moon by night. And all I'm saying to you is that God has made you different for a purpose. And by the way, you are unique. Oh. You are unique. There is nobody like you on the whole earth. Out of the 8 billion plus people, so unique are you that your fingerprints, they are unique to you alone. There's nobody else who has exactly the same set of fingerprints that you have. Think about it. You are so unique that even if a strand of hair falls down, God notices it. He's numbered them, all of them. Those of us that are here, is finished. He still numbers them. So what is left, he knows them all. Enye nyipa jenjan ate. That means that you are not a useless person. Don't accept that nonsense that certain people have said about you. You are a failure. You won't amount to anything. There's nothing great about you. You are hopeless. Don't believe any of that trash. Don't believe it. You are not useless. And God is up to something with your life. Can I have an amen? And then the last one. The difference God makes can only be preserved by humility. The difference that God makes can only be preserved by humility. And look, if you ask me, Pastor, I want to provoke God. How can I provoke God? Answer is very simple. Be proud. If you want to provoke God and let God be angry with you, there's only one thing that I would encourage you to do. Just become proud. That's why the Bible says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And any distinction in your life, any difference in your life, any accomplishment of your life, any great thing in your life, if you want that thing to be preserved, make sure that you always stay on the path of humility. Don't shift. We shouldn't shift from that path of humility. Let's remain small in our own eyes at all times. Never mind the height to which God lifts us. We shouldn't lose that humility. Because when we lose it, we will lose that great thing that God has placed in our lives. You know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, don't you? Who was Nebuchadnezzar? Who was he? He's just some guy that God picked and just decided to do some great things with the guy. Made him great. And he became like the most powerful person on earth. And his kingdom, his empire, controlled a lot of other places. One day he went to sleep, and you can read about it in Daniel chapter 4. He went to sleep and he had a dream. He saw a tree. They had the watchers, and they said they cut down the tree and all of those things. He didn't understand what it is. But fortunately, Daniel was available, and Daniel came and gave him the interpretation of the dream and explained to him that you are that great tree that you saw in the dream. And the greatness that you are enjoying, it is God. It's not you. It's God who made you great. But you have to be careful that you always acknowledge that and you humble God. Because if you don't and you become proud and you start misbehaving, God will bring you down. Barely 12 months after, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. Then the king spoke. So he was looking round at his kingdom. And he said, is not this the great Babylon that I, look, always watch it. If you find yourself always saying, I, me, then know that you are close to a fall. I have built for a royal dwelling. And look at him. He said, by my mighty power, verse 28, by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty, that all that you are seeing, Oyemala and Amesi, everything that you are seeing, so look at this great thing. I did it. The Bible says, when the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. The kingdom that you said you made, it has been taken away from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. And 7 times shall pass over you, that means 7 years, until you get sense enough to know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. My friend, never forget that God rules in the affairs of life. That's why I'm telling you that he's in control. Even when it looks like he's lost hold of things, he's very much in control. Yeah. There's a scripture that says, the depth, both of the riches and of the wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What that simply means is that it is very difficult to fathom what God is doing. And you can be confused and think that he's lost it. He hasn't lost anything at all. And he said, you Nebuchadnezzar, all these things that are going to happen to you, you are going to become like an animal driven from among men. You'll be in the forest. Your hair will overgrow. Your nails will become like claws. 7 years, you go through that experience so that you learn sense. It is God who has made you everything that you are. So what was Nebuchadnezzar's problem? He became proud. Because of that, he lost it. Then he learned his lesson. And from there, he made a declaration. Hey, Obianye cool. Nobody. Everybody must understand that God is God. He became an evangelist. Broadcasting it everywhere he went. I can imagine telling people, please, be cool. Be cool. Don't make too much noise. Don't take credit for yourself. Always acknowledge God. I'm saying something to you. That the difference God makes, if there is anything different distinguishing about you, God is the source of it. And the difference that he makes can only be preserved by humility. Never forget that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It was the grace of God that lifted Nebuchadnezzar up. It was pride that brought him down. And if you always want to maintain that shine, that glory, that nice thing that you see in your life, always stay humble. That is the only way we can preserve the goodness and the favor of the Lord. And when you are humble, that's when you say things like, Lord, I know it is you. It's you. Without you, I am nothing. If you leave me, I will fall. That's the language of humility. That's how humble people talk. And that is the sort of confession that we must make all the time. And as we determine to stay grateful, God will cause us to become great at the end of the day. And like I told you last Sunday, if that question ever comes up, who makes you to differ from another? Always lift your finger up there and point to heaven above. Because the Bible says a man cannot receive anything except it be given him from heaven. God bless you. Let us pray. Oh, Father, thank you for this word. And thank you, Father. We believe that this word is preparing us for a certain greatness that awaits us. We are expectant of some great things that you're going to do in our lives. We know, Father, that you're going to lift us up, that you're going to bless us, that are going to cause us to flourish, that are going to favor us. And Father, we are committed to always giving you the glory for everything great that we see in our lives, for every difference that we see in our lives. We recognize that you are the source of every good gift and every perfect gift in our lives. And as we march on through life, as we enter into a new year and we advance through the year, may we always remember that you are the one who makes us differ from another. Thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. All right, can you clap and bless the name of the Lord for his word?
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.